Hyperbola with you, Radio 720 WGN, 312-981-7200. 60 says, love the baseball talk. Watch some 13U girls play softball. Good play, parents and coaches, great. Maybe the boys need to learn from the girls. Maybe they do. Yeah. Generally, I would say that's absolutely right. Okay, so Jess is getting it queued up. So Kathy Griffin is a comedian, mm-hmm. and she's been a million different things. Her show, I think, was called Life on the D-List. She tours like crazy. Mm-hmm. She was on Suddenly Susan. That was her first big break with Brooke Shields back in the day.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
She had an episode of Seinfeld she was in that I believe she was written into based on her making fun of Seinfeld, because she had auditioned for a show or for Seinfeld and didn't get it. And she used to do, you know, a lot of her comedy is making fun of bigger celebrities.
Right.
And that, you know, I used to see her do this back 20 years ago when I lived in L.A. I got to know her from her doing appearances on the radio show I worked on out there. And she used to organize, her and Janine Garofalo, I believe, they were part of the Groundlings, and which is sort of Second City-ish type troupe out there.
Mm-hmm. Long-time troupe.
Yeah.
A lot of people over
Will
the Ferrell last several decades.
There. A lot of people
through
there. Yeah. And she organized these Sunday night little shows called Hot Cup of Talk, where comedians like her and Janine Garofalo and Bobcat Goldthwait and Taylor Negron would come out and just do sets of stuff they were working on, kind of mm-hmm. off-the-cuff stuff. And it was fun, and it was hilarious. And we had a blast, and I got to know her a little bit. And so she's made a career out of doing little stuff like this. And I think she's funny. A lot of, you know, certain people don't. She's mm-hmm. pretty abrasive. She's pretty crude. And that's just what she does. And I like her a lot. And she's a really good person. But she made a big mistake, I think, in posing for these photos with this photographer who I believe is known for doing some pretty bold, daring, risque things. And if you haven't seen the photos, they're awful. It's a photo of Kathy holding a doll head type thing, a life-size head, what looks like Donald Trump. She's holding it by the hair. But not only is it a severed head, it is a bloodied severed head. And it looks like something you would see in a third world country where somebody was just overthrown. It looks terrible. It looks terrible. And the way I first heard about this, I actually just saw on Twitter some people writing stuff about Kathy Griffin.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw, because I follow Kathy on Twitter, I saw this little video she made. And there was a video, and underneath it just said, I was wrong, I'm sorry, I apologize. And so I watched the video. It's like 40 seconds of her saying, guys, I push things, I move the line, I jump over the line, I did something that I shouldn't have done. I'm sorry about it. I apologize. I'm taking it down. I've asked the photographer to take down the images. TMZ got a hold of them before they were even released and put them out. And so she was apologetic about the whole thing. Since then, you know, she was attacked. I don't know how viciously or what happened. Donald Trump sent out a tweet that just said, Kathy Griffin should be ashamed of herself. My children are having a very tough time with this, especially my 11-year-old son, Baron. Mm-hmm. And then he wrote sick. And I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but that's pretty much what he wrote. And Kathy had issued that one statement and then kind of went dark for a couple of days until she had a press conference, I think on, was it Friday?
I think it was yesterday.
This morning, Friday morning? Friday morning, she had a press conference with an attorney to tell her side of the story or who knows do what. Jess, are you ready to play that? Are you okay? All right, go ahead and hit what Kathy Griffin does in her press conference.
I'm not afraid of Donald Trump. He's a bully. I've dealt with older white guys trying to keep me down my whole life, my whole career. I'm a woman in a very male-dominated field. I love what I do. I love making people laugh more than anything in the world. And I have learned over the years that sometimes when you do stand-up, and I've done it in a war zone, and I've done it at Walter Reed Hospital, and I've done it at Carnegie Hall, sometimes people want, you know, a joke that's out there and a little crazy. So regarding the image that I participated in, that apology absolutely stands. I feel horrible. I have performed in war zones. The idea that this, you know, made people think of this tragedy, to have been touched by this tragedy, is horrifying and it's horrible. Trust me, if I could redo the whole thing, I would have had a blow-up doll and no ketchup. you know, I make mistakes. I'm an out there comedian. I'm an in your face comedian. But I just wanted to say, you know, if you don't stand up, you get run over. And what's happening to me has never happened ever in the history of this great country, which is that a sitting president of the United States and his grown children and the First Lady are personally, I feel personally, trying to ruin my life forever, forever. You guys know him. He's never going to stop. I know him. Let me talk to like a camera like I'm talking to him. And I might make a couple jokes because I'm super nervous. Everyone's pointing to their camera. I'll just this one. All right. I'll sort of look in this direction. All right. So I know him. All right. So the Donald, it's me, the Kathy. And if you guys don't know this, if you meet him, he wants you to call him the Donald, which I've always thought was the weird. And I remember saying to him the first time, OK, I'm the Kathy. And that went right over his nest. OK, that was a joke about his hair. But I have seen eggs in it. Like I think I've seen allegedly. I am teasing the president because this is America and you shouldn't have to die for it. The death threats that I'm getting are constant and they are detailed and they are serious and they are specific. And today it's me and tomorrow it could be you. So yeah, I'm an obnoxious comedian. I'm not the most famous person in the world. I'm just standing here with Lisa. I have an amazing First Amendment attorney, Alan Isaacman. If you're not familiar with his work, he won the landmark case, the People versus Larry Flint. I believe so passionately about this. If I don't stand up and say this, I'm afraid there's going to be some 12-year-old nerdy girl like me in Forest Park, Illinois, who's going to maybe be watching me to see what I do. And this bully and this president, of all people, is going to come after me? He picked the wrong redhead. And he's sort of a redhead, although it's sort of like a parfait cup sometimes. I mean, there's like a red and then like a yellow. And I don't know. I think Melania does a lot of nice and easy. I don't know, but maybe she doesn't. The point, I digress. So that's what I do, you guys. I improvise. I try jokes. My mouth is really dry because I'm so nervous. But I don't want this to happen to anyone else. I tour for a living. I love doing it. I perform everywhere people want me to laugh. And honestly, one night it's a performing arts center, and the next night it's two shows in the Pottawatomie, Wisconsin casino. And there's been a change, a real shift change. And, you know, starting maybe about 18 months ago, where Fox News ain't got nothing on me. Although I think you should know, my mother, who thinks Fox News is real, is not speaking to me because she's in love with Tucker Carlson. So I'm even in trouble with my mother. So don't worry, everyone hates me. I do. I need water. I'm probably shaking. And I'm afraid I'm going to get that under boob sweat, which is really the bad one. That was not appropriate, right? That wasn't appropriate. Okay, so I'm not good at being appropriate. I only know how to do comedy one way. It's in-your-face comedy. I keep it real. I am going to make fun of the president. And you know what? I'm going to make fun of him more now. More. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to threaten him. I have no desire to harm him or anyone. I would never want to harm anybody. But, you know, I've made fun of W. I made fun of Clinton. Oh, God, remember the Monica Dress days? Those were the days. You could make dress jokes all day long, and nobody tried to kill you. You shouldn't have to die for this. I'm under a Secret Service investigation.
And the First Family did not come after you with any of the other presidents. You know, it is so unpresidential for them to respond to a comic.
I get what I am. I'm the shiny object. I get it. We all know what's going on here. They're using me as the shiny object so that nobody's talking about his FBI investigation. All right? I get it. And I made a horrible, horrible mistake, and I made a horrible call. I understand. But everywhere I go, people actually come up to me. And I, like I said, I go everywhere. It's what I do. And they say, you know, oh, I'm a housewife and my kids have been driving me crazy. And, oh, I just needed 2 hours to blow off some steam. And I'm glad you went there and you're saying the things I'm thinking. Those are my peeps. I'm not for everybody. I'm barely an acquired taste, frankly. on a good day, I'm an acquired taste. But honestly, my whole career, I'm 56 years old. I'm 110 pounds wet. I've had everybody turn on me, and I just want to make people laugh. That's all I want to do. So I screwed up. But I want the gay guy who came to see me in Lake Charles, Louisiana a few weeks ago, who said, I wanted to come here because I'm scared to come out, but I get to come here and laugh for 2 hours. That's what I'm telling you. That's why I'm here. It's honestly, it's not for me. It's for them. I think a few people might actually be watching me, and I want them to see this old dame. I'm not laying down for this guy.
I'm going to make fun of him. I'm going to make jokes about him and the Housewives and Kardashians. But, you know, he does provide a lot of material. I mean, you got to be honest. He really, it's a good time to be a comedian. It's scary to be a citizen, but it's a good time to be a comedian.
That was great.
Okay. Now, as I said, I know Kathy, or I knew Kathy a lifetime ago, 20 years ago, and I like Kathy a lot. I really do. That is the stupidest press conference I've ever heard in my life. And I support her right to do whatever she wants because there is a right to free speech in this country. But this, I don't know if that press conference is an apology or what. It's that I don't know what the hell to make out of that because that was stupid. On one hand, she says the president is bullying her, is so unpresidential, or her lawyer said unpresidential, for the first family to come after her. Oh, I did this to Clinton. I did this to Bush. No, you never held a bloodied, severed head, you idiot. Anybody who does that, you can hate Trump all you want. And believe me, as she said, she also acknowledged it's a great time to be a comedian. Comedians in our history have never made as much fun of a president as they are right now. Even through the Lewinsky scandal, people did not make careers out of making fun of a president as they have been able to so far right now. I mean, it's crazy the fodder that comedians have. The First Amendment is alive and well. For Kathy to say that she's being bullied by the First Family is just BS and ridiculous. I support her right to take those photos. Of course I do. I also support the right for everybody to be furious at her about it and for people to fire her if they're offended by it. We have those rights as well. And she needs to understand that. And to think that she is all upset that the First Family takes, you know, oh, I'm a shiny object in this. Of course, you're going to be used as that. But you brought all of this upon yourself. You did something incredibly stupid. And yes, she acknowledges that in one sentence, but then the next sentence says, I don't deserve to die for this. Well, of course you don't deserve to die for it. But there are lunatics out there, no matter what, that if you do something ridiculously outlandish, will come out of the woodwork. That happens. And the president isn't asking anybody to give her death threats. The president, Trump, was his tweet against her was one of the most restrained things he's tweeted. He could have gone after her very vociferously, and I don't think he did. He just said she should be ashamed. My kids are having a real tough time with this, especially my 11-year-old son, Baron. Sick. Who wouldn't write that? Who wouldn't think that? The photo is gruesome. It looks terrible. It's incredibly realistic. It really is. And I don't like Trump. You all know this. I get, you know, as soon as I say we're going to talk about this, well, I don't want to have your political views forced down my throat again. I'm sick of this. So I know you think that I'm all anti-Trump, anti-Trump. And believe me, I'm not happy with President Trump. I don't like Trump. I respect the office of the presidency. And that's what Kathy Griffin, well, that's where she stepped over the line. You have to respect the office of the president. And when you show a severed head, bloodied head, it's like you're advocating. Here she is crying that she's getting death threats. What is that photo supposed to look like to people? What does that look like? We get so upset about what the alt-right says and what Bannon and all these guys, these little things they say, are those dog whistles, are those things calling people out? On the left, we have to realize that we have to adhere to the same stuff. And she is just making it worse by now making about poor little me. Oh, I'm being bullied. Oh, I did all these things. Hey, I'm an in-your-face comedian. If you're an in-your-face comedian, then you get what you get. And you can't cry that you people can't be upset and give me death threats and do these things. And, oh, I just want to be out there for this guy and that guy. I'm just doing this for the people. Oh, God. Nobody is forcing you off the road. People might be canceling shows because people are upset about what you did, but that's what you did. And then they have a press conference where I understand she's nervous and all, but for God's sake, she's performed in front of 20,000 people before. You can be in front of a few cameras. I'm not buying that wholeheartedly. And then to just continue to make fun of him in ways that if there was never the severed head, it wouldn't matter at all. Everybody's making fun of him. The late night shows all make fun of him. Everybody has jokes at Trump's expense. Twitter is filled with them all day long. That's not a big deal. And nobody is giving anybody a real hard time about that. This went so far over the line for the office of the president, no matter who it is. We cannot, as Americans, look like we're advocating physical harm to our president. And I know, and a lot of stuff was out like on social media this week about people are all upset about this, but let's remember all of this. And there was an incredible amount of vile things said and images about President Obama over the last 8 years, and we were incensed by them. But you know what? It was never a celebrity showing a picture of a lynching or showing it. It was never somebody that somebody could take something out on. If Fox News had showed a severed President Obama head, we would have been a huge uproar and there would have been people fired. That would have happened. And so it's not surprising that CNN, I don't blame at all for firing her. I know that they're definitely, you know, supportive of free speech at CNN. But think about the position CNN is in, that they're already called fake news all year long. Now they're supposed to have their New Year's Eve celebration rung in by the girl who is holding up the severed, bloodied head. They can't. They had to let her go. Anderson Cooper had to come out against this. I don't blame anybody. I'm sure they love her and support her, but she made a decision that you can't stand behind. You can't say I'm an in-your-face comedian and this is what you get and this is what I do and then cry. You can't be upset at me. You can't, you know. Yeah, the people shouldn't be giving her death threats. That's stupid. And that's the type of stuff that President Trump has riled up in people over the last 18 months. Let's face it. You know, he had rallies where he helped people chant, lock her up. That's the type of thing he's brought on. But no matter who the president is or how much you disagree with them, you cannot look like you're advocating for a coup or an assassination or anything like that. And that's what that looks like.
You brought it up, but I was, before I had a chance to say I was going to play devil's advocate.
Mm-hmm.
What she did was wrong. Yes. I agree, 1,000%. What people did in depicting the death, the hanging, the decapitation of President Obama, whether they were famous or not, but those depictions that were made public, because anything on the internet is public.
Yeah.
Were just as degrading, just as reprehensible, but the uproar over those images, which again defamed the office of the presidency,
mm-hmm.
were nowhere near as boisterous as the uproars over this image and others that have come out.
Let me say this about that, Raj. Here's what I would put on that.
All right.
I believe that there was a lot. There were a lot of us very upset whenever we saw anything about President Obama like that. But how did we see it? We saw it in social media or somebody passing around different crap like that. This now, listen, we've also had since Trump has been in office. Maybe I don't know how much I've seen in America, but we have Trump pinatas. Mm-hmm. I've never seen that for a president before. We've had effigies burned in other countries.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen a lot of that. Okay, so that's my sort of equivalency of what we had with President Obama. We didn't have somebody relatively famous holding up a decapitated bloody head. We did have pictures of effigies burning, different things like that that are somewhat similar, but we never had a name attached to it where somebody could be somebody who death threats are going to go to, who's going to get fired from jobs, who you could say, you did this, you must pay a price for, we're upset about this.
I understand.
So I think that's somewhat the difference in this.
I understand your point. I don't agree with it to that point that there is a difference. I saw it on social media, and I didn't care that it was Kathy Griffin. I knew who she was when I saw the picture. I saw it on my Twitter feed. It came out through Newsweek or, you know, one of the news organizations I follow.
Mm-hmm.
It was being reposted like nauseam. But I saw the image of the head, and that bothered me, just as it bothered me with all the images, negative images of President Obama.
Right.
So I'm separating that part out from the presenters of those images. In other words, I don't care how it got there. The image itself is disrespectful, whether it's President Obama or President Trump. And it didn't matter how bad it looked. The fact that someone took the time to present that level of negativity about the office of the President of the United States in America, forget the other countries, but in America, is degrading and demeaning to the office of president and should not be allowed, even though it's free speech, and I'm 10,000% behind free speech, but something needs to be done, in my opinion, to prevent that level of criticism. That, to me, goes beyond having free speech and disagreeing with the practices or the edicts of the President of the United States.
See, that's interesting because I think we cannot start placing limits on free speech.
I agree wholeheartedly.
That's very dangerous. Very dangerous. And I wouldn't want her to get arrested for this because she could get arrested. She's complaining about a Secret Service investigation.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're not saying, Kathy, we think you violated your free speech rights. They're saying we're investigating whether this is a threat on the
exactly.
president. That's right. why it's stupid and wrong. And I will say this, Raj, everything that I ever saw with President Obama, and maybe you saw different things, but I'm thinking back all the different very hateful things that went through social media over the last 8 years. I never saw anything as realistic as this. I saw cartoonishness. I saw effigies. I saw all sorts of things. You look at Kathy, if you're from Zimbabwe and you come to town and you see that photo, you'd be, you know, if you came from some country where that crap could happen, you'd go, oh, did that happen here? Because that looks like it actually happened.
But as far as the depictions of President Obama, they depicted him being hung.
Right.
That is a threat to the president.
I would bet you, Raj, and we didn't hear about it.
I know.
But I would bet you that those were investigated.
They probably were.
I bet you we could hear stories of the Secret Service going insane for the last 8 years with everything they had to investigate.
Yeah.
I'm sure it was craziness. And I'm not surprised the Secret Service
is didn't hear from President Obama or his family. He's got two little girls. Well, they're not so little now, but he's got two girls.
But nothing.
Them seeing the images of that were not as disturbing as
the
President
images of
Trump's
President Obama
children.
Were never on TMZ. Were never circulated through social
media. They were
media
on
like this
social
was.
Media.
They
That's
were on
where
social
I saw
media
them.
Where you could find them, but they weren't presented by news organizations ever. They weren't thrown at us like these were. You could see them. They were out there. And I'm sure they had to protect the girls from images of President Obama that were out there. This is different. This is different.
I agree. The only reason
and
that
somebody
this made...
famous is attached to this, so it's insanely blown up in the news media.
But that's what I'm saying. This only made the news media because it was Kathy Griffin.
I'll tell you what. I will say this. I do believe if Kathy's not involved in this photo shoot, but this artist who's supposedly relatively famous just does his photo shoot of severed heads of Trump and releases it, it's still in the news and we still talk about it. Not for as long, not for as much.
No.
But I guarantee you it still makes the news because this, to me, Raj, and I am the biggest supporter of President Obama there was. I voted for him twice. I would have voted for him a third time. I do not like Trump. But President Obama never had something quite like this out there in the public. Not quite like this. This looks like I know it's not a threat. I know it's Kathy being funny, thinking it's funny. It wasn't. But this looks like an actual threat. Think of the uproar on Game of Thrones when they used Bush's head when they had all the heads on a pike. And you couldn't even tell it was President Bush. Somebody figured it out or somebody on set who knew released it. I had seen the episodes. You weren't going to say, oh, my God, look, they used George Bush's head for one of these. Nobody ever would have really known that. But somebody who worked on the set revealed that they did that. And there was a lot of heat at HBO over that, as there should have been. It's disrespecting the office of the president. And no matter how much you hate the guy that's in there, we all as Americans have to respect the office, even if we want to get the guy in it thrown out. And this is going over the line, disrespecting that office. Now, I disagree that something should be done to prevent somebody from doing like this, but somebody who does something like this has to understand, if you do something like this, A, Secret Service is going to call, find out how cuckoo you are.
Mm-hmm.
B, some people, half the country, 30% depending on what you want to say about the votes, are going to be really mad at you and pissed off at you and boycott your shows. Look at what happened to the Dixie Chicks.
Oh, that's right.
All they did was say we're ashamed he's from Texas while they were in London. And country music stations burned bulldozed their CDs.
They couldn't get bookings or anything. Yeah.
Destroyed their careers for a time. So that was nothing. And that's something that shouldn't have happened. They were railroaded, and that's a First Amendment freedom that should have been. Now, you can be annoyed with them, but there was a proactive working by country music to harm them, I think, there. And that was despicable. What Kathy did is so much different. Okay, we're late for the news. Let's take a quick break, and we'll take your calls. I have a couple of people waiting patiently, 312-981-7200. If you have something to say about this, we'll get to you after the news, which is next. Matt Bubala here with you, 720 WGN, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Thanks for staying up late with us. Talking about Kathy Griffin and the image that has got her in a lot of hot water and got her begging. I don't know. She's not begging for forgiveness. She asked for forgiveness. She said she's sorry. Then she made more fun of him, which kind of diminished her whole seriousness in the whole thing. It's a weird rambling press conference. She said she was nervous, and I understand that. For the most part, the texters are upset with me for being upset with Kathy, which you people always surprise me. I never know which side you guys are going to land on, I guess. But somebody points out something I think really interesting here. Where is it? One of my texters.
That text screen moves pretty fast when they come in.
262 says, Ted Nugent has called for the death of Obama and Hillary repeatedly. And then he gets invited to the White House. And that is so true. What the hell is Trump doing bringing Ted Nugent to the White House, a man who had to have been under, and I believe we read was under investigation by the FBI or the Secret Service because of things he said about President Obama. Ridiculously awful things about President Obama. Now, nobody protested him. Nobody did this. Nobody did that. Well, A, he didn't have the photo. That would have garnered a bigger storm. B, when's the last time Ted Nugent did anything?
No.
I mean, I imagine he does concerts, and people that are Trump supporters or supporters, far, far right supporters, are cool with him saying that stuff. But that was extremely awful. Absolutely. And I imagine if he had something for people to boycott, the left would have been boycotting it like crazy. Not much left to boycott for old Ted. But yes, that was absolutely awful as well. 312-981-7200. Joe's been hanging on for quite a bit. Joe, you're on 720 WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, sir. Hey, listen, Matt, I got to compliment you. I know you're not enthralled with President Trump. You're not enamored with him.
No, I am not.
I personally am. Okay. But nevertheless, your last comments prompted this. Naomi Judd, and who is a ferocious woman, a nasty woman, and Madonna, who has thought long and hard about burning down the White House.
Yeah, Madonna did make this really stupid comment about burning down the White House, and she got a lot of heat for that when it came out.
They're just words, okay?
That's the big difference, isn't it? There's no visual with those.
Oh, you got it. That's the key in the equation here. So you rationally, and the emphasis on the word rationally, looked at both sides of the equation. I'm a conservative. I'm a Republican. You're a Democrat. You're a liberal. But nevertheless, you chose to look at both sides of the coin and give an equilateral look, which I compliment you for. That's it, basically, my friend.
Well, I got to jump back to something, Joe, because you said you're not enamored with President Bush, with President Trump. And then did you say that you are? You are enamored with President Trump? You really have liked him so far?
Well, look at the latest development here.
Okay.
The French Connection, if you will. He spent, 35 minutes explaining the economics of the scenario. We're obligated to pay money, just like NATO, if you will. We're sponsoring 80% of the funding for NATO right now. He's asking for people to pay their fair share. It's the same scenario with the environment.
Now,
he's concerned with the environment, so am I, so am you. He just wants an equitable solution to the thing.
Joe, let me ask you about this, because with the NATO thing, everything I've read is that Trump keeps saying it wrong. Everybody is supposed to commit to spending 2% of their GDP on defense in their own country. It's not some slush fund we're throwing money into. So when he says we're doing 80% because we spend an insane amount on our military and budget towards that, we're spending and everybody else is working towards it. But nobody else has not come to the defense of anybody else. Nobody else is shirking their obligations because they haven't spent this money yet. It's to have your defense prepared if it's needed. The only time all the countries have had to come together and invoke that clause was after 9/11, and they all did. So it's not like everybody is not doing what they're supposed to do. Maybe they haven't gotten to the place where they're spending the money yet. They still have, I believe, 7 more years to meet the agreement and do it. But President Trump keeps positioning this as if we're writing these huge checks to NATO and nobody else is doing it. That commitment is to build up your own defenses to a certain amount.
Well, I might stand corrected there because I'll readily admit I thought it was a slush fund.
I thought
it was a communal thing where everybody contributes.
It's not everybody's supposed to be writing these checks. Now, I'll say this. These are the articles I've read, and I'm not reading them on some crazy left-wing thing. They're, news articles from, I know he calls them fake news outlets, but I believe, I'm sure they're in the Journal, too, and things like that, that this is how NATO works. Everybody's supposed to spend 2% of their GDP on defense, and not everybody has gotten it up to that yet. And other people have the ability to. And, of course, ours is way bigger than a lot of people because we've got a bigger GDP, right? Same thing with Paris. Now, you could argue a lot of things on this, and we're hopefully going to have somebody next week to explain a little more about this. But also from what I'm reading on this, their voluntary reductions and voluntary things. Yes, we already paid in $1 billion. There were 2 more $1 billion we were going to pay in. And a lot of that is so underdeveloped countries we can help start getting moving on clean energy, things like that. Countries that, because they're so poor, aren't going to stop burning coal, aren't going to stop burning these things because they can't afford to. We can. And it just drives me crazy, Joe, that we're talking about we need more coal production. We need more coal production. Everything I'm reading talks about how natural gas that we have in abundance burns much cleaner. The solar and the wind and everything else that we're developing, these industries are taking over coal, and yet we're trying to bring back coal, which is, let's face it, not great for the earth, not good for people's lungs. I mean, who's out there going, God, if only I could get a coal mining job? Now, I know that there's coal miners who are suffering, and there's parts of the country where people are suffering. But is this what we want to build for the next 10 years, more coal mining jobs? Doesn't that
seem
make sense?
Do I have a little bit of an audience here?
Sure. Okay. You got me, at least. I don't know who else, Joe.
Okay. Very good. Touche. Very good point. But nevertheless, I read Bloomberg News, Fortune, I'm up to date, basically.
Okay.
I might stand corrected, as you so aptly put it, on NATO. But China, at last report, this was 6 months ago, they're opening up a new coal-fired power plant, easy for me to say, every 3 months.
Okay, so and President Trump said all that. Now, I've read in the last 2 days since this that they've stopped production on all sorts of coal plants and are actually so he keeps saying, oh, everybody gets to do this. Everybody gets to do all this stuff. We can't do anything.
Yeah.
Everything I've read is this accord by a certain date. I can't remember if it's 2020 or where it is, or 13 years from now.
Magic number,
so 2030. Yeah. No, I think it's 2030 because it's 13 years from now. And they're going to do all this. And they're going to do all that. By 2030, we all have to try to reduce our emissions by, I think, 25% before 2005 levels, something along those lines.
Oh, let me halt you there. Everybody?
That was the commitment, I think, that everybody's trying to get to.
That's the
by
Paris
2030,
Accord?
I believe that all of these countries that signed on, our commitment is to try by 2030 to reduce our emissions to 25% less than what we were producing. I think it's in 2005. I think that's the number that they're going back to. You got to try to reduce it by 25% from that. So, yeah, in the meantime, you could build 100 coal plants. You could do everything you want. We could, too. It's all voluntary, what we're saying. But we weren't in the process of doing that. We are cutting away those things. We're investing a lot in solar and wind and other natural things. China, as I understand what I've read since then, has stopped production of those plants and is actually ahead of their targets that they should meet this before 2030. Now, I know that they've been an awful, awful polluter over the years.
Sure.
And that's well known. But from what I've read, they are cutting back. They are committed to this and they are doing it. And, you know, listen, I understand maybe everything isn't great for certain sectors. We have to invest more in things, but it's, to me, it's about investing in the future. And I know President Trump, listen, he won because he committed to people in areas, in the states that really won it for him. It helped out
West
that
Virginia,
he was committed
sure.
to the poor communities that are having trouble. We need more manufacturing jobs, and coal was a big thing. Coal is not the future, from everything I've read. And I think clean burning coal is a little bit of a misnomer, isn't it? Is it really clean burning? It's not solar. It's not even
right.
natural gas, I don't think, as far as the cleanliness. So I'm not as enamored. You're right, Joe.
Okay. Well, listen, you know, look at Yucca Mountain. I'd like to give it back to the Democrats in that respect. That was a monumental project, $10 billion, as I understand it. I could be wrong there.
Was this where we were going to store our nuclear fuel?
Correct, yeah.
Yeah, that was an interesting one, wasn't it? Because, did we spend $10 billion? So what happened here, Joe? What happened was nobody wanted the nuclear rods going through their town on the train, right? Isn't that what derailed it?
Guess who was the speaker before Ryan who stated it's in?
It would be our buddy Denny Hastert?
No.
Oh, who?
The big guy. Freudian slip here. He's one of my favorite people.
We're not going all the way back to Tip O'Neill, right?
No. Shoot, right before...
Oh, wait, is this...
It's
not John Boehner or somebody.
No. A Democrat.
Harry Reid?
Harry Reid.
Okay. That's well, he's not a big guy. He's a little guy, isn't he?
Well, he's diminutive, that. But he thinks he's humongous.
So he didn't want it. He didn't want it in Nevada in the end?
That's right. That's where it's at, Yucca Mountain.
Yeah, but he fought against it?
Oh, well, yeah, he put his foot on it.
Well, maybe the people in Nevada said, hey, Harry, we're going to run your ass out of office if you bring all this nuclear waste to Nevada.
Wish they would have.
Well, I mean, you could see where it's you know what? I always advocated the quarry out here. That we got the big quarries that now we're filling with water out by Homewood. Let's put it there. Let's go. Get the government. Listen, we want to solve Illinois' problems, right, Joe? Illinois, we are the most bankrupt, awful-running state in the world right now. Let's bring all the nuclear waste here. We'll seal it up and make the government pay us $100 million a year to do it.
Well, the quarry is a good idea. That's what I told my daughter. She's in L.A. for the last 10 years. I said, you guys ought to dig a bunch of quarries out there, and when the rain comes, fill it in there. Don't forget about the mudslides. Collect the stuff.
Yeah, no kidding.
Matt, you've impressed me this evening.
Thank you, Joe. I think the other calls won't be as friendly, so I appreciate at least getting you in before we move on to others. Thanks for listening, as always. We do appreciate it. 312-981-7200. Mark is waiting patiently. Let's take a quick break. More calls next, 720 WGN. I don't hear President Trump.
Compliance with the terms of the Paris Accord and the onerous energy restrictions that is placed on the United States could cost America as much as 2.7 million lost jobs by 2025, according to the National Economic Research Associates. This includes 440,000 fewer manufacturing jobs, not what we need. Believe me, this is not what we need, including automobile jobs and the further decimation of vital American industries on which countless communities rely. They rely for so much, and we would be giving them so little.
That's just one clip of about an 18-minute speech that President Trump gave talking about why he's pulling out of Paris and the climate agreement. 312-981-7200, we'll talk a little bit more about that, but Mark has been holding very patiently for a very long time. Mark, you're on 720 WGN. Good morning.
Yeah, thanks, Matt. I've got 3 points, basically. First of all, I have had to admit to myself that if there were a televised impeachment of Trump, I would be too tempted to enjoy it. That's how much I like Trump. And it's very troubling to me to have a man in office that I both don't trust and don't like. I distrust Bill Clinton, but in an odd way, I like him, if that makes any sense.
It's funny. I didn't like him, but I liked him as a president. I didn't like him once he said, you know, once he lied to the American people so publicly. That drove me crazy. But I understand what you're saying.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Second point. We don't need humor to be grisly. And freedom, it's a cliche, but freedom of speech is not freedom to yell fire in a crowded theater. Kathy Griffin's stunt was potentially inflammatory, and I would say, despite all the crude things that Trump has said about grabbing women in a certain way and some of the other stuff, Kathy's stunt even went below that in its crudity. That's my opinion. Yeah. Third point, when you played the tape of her, I recognized the words from printed article I'd read yesterday. And my reaction was kind of telling. Oh, that's Kathy Griffin. That's not a little girl.
Oh, the way her voice sounds.
Yeah. And I mean, she's sounding all whiny, and I thought, oh, this must be a news story about a little girl's tale of woe. And then I thought, oh, it's Kathy Griffin. And look how she sounds. I mean, if I hadn't known from the article I read yesterday, I would never have known from that tape that she's in her 50s.
Yeah, that's just kind of how Kathy sounds. I think she's always sort of sounded like that. I don't think she was sounding particularly whiny or anything like that. But it's just
any worse than usual.
Yeah, that's just her voice. Her voice maybe is a little grating to some. I find her endearing, and I love her. I love Kathy Griffin. I hate that she did this.
Oh, yeah.
I hate that she did something this stupid. And quite honestly, I hate that she hired First Amendment attorney instead of a what she needs is like whoever Exxon probably hired after the Valdez went down. You need a damage control attorney, because this is not, you know, she's coming out on the attack and it's like, wait a minute, what? He's not. Yeah, he's a bully. He's not bullying you. He sent one tweet. And I think Eric Trump sent something nasty, too. But I'm sorry, that's not an all out attack on Kathy Griffin. Him yelling at the MSNBC reporter at the rally and people turning on her, that's bullying. You know what he did to Megyn Kelly, you could sort of call bullying. But him sending a tweet of disgust at what she did is not bullying. It's responding.
Yeah.
And
now,
so
I will say this on the when I saw her on a nighttime, you know, late night talk show, yeah, she's acerbic in her humor, but she didn't sound quite like the little girl that I heard tonight. You know, she sounded much more adult.
Well, she acknowledged at the beginning of it, we didn't play all of it, but she acknowledged over and over again that she was extremely nervous about the whole thing. And I think that, you know, she has probably been getting death threats, and that probably has never happened to her in her career, I'm sure, because she makes fun of the Kardashians mostly. So nobody's, you know, defending them to the death. So she probably is like, whoa, holy crap, I really did something here that I regret. And now I'm going to apologize, but I can't help myself. I'm also going to make fun at the same time. And I think that diminished the whole thing, having to always be on and now make more fun of him while I'm doing this. And I'm going to continue making fun of him. Well, nobody told you you couldn't. We said, don't pretend you just killed the man. That's where you get into trouble. That's what she doesn't get. And it's unfortunate.
It's too bad. It's too bad that it took the death threats to make her realize that she did make a mistake.
And I don't think it's making her think she made a mistake. I think it's making her think, can you believe this bully's got these people making death threats? And that's unfortunate.
Yeah. She's sorry about what's happening to her. I don't know if she's sorry about what she did.
I think that's a very interesting comment, Mark. I think that you got something there. She's more sorry about what's happening because of it to her than that she did this. And I don't know if
she's She's like a little kid who's been told, don't touch the hot stove. She touches it and then asks and then demands that the burn be made to go away.
Well, I don't think anybody ever said, don't touch the hot stove. I think she touched the hot stove without realizing it was going to be quite that hot.
She must have known better.
I don't think she did. I mean, she joked in the video that was released, like, oh, I'm going to get in trouble for this. I'm sure she had no idea. And listen, in some ways I could see where in a moment, but and I don't know how realistic it looked. God, in that photo, it looks ridiculously realistic. And I don't know if there was any photoshopping done with that or anything like that, or if that was all on there. But she should have realized what she was doing. But I will say this. We're in an era where it is a free-for-all on the ability to make fun of a president. Nobody has ever.
Yeah.
Now, incredibly, as Roger brought up, incredibly vile, terrible, mean-spirited things were done towards President Obama. But the late-night talk shows, every comedian, The Daily Show, all those things, John Oliver and Bill Maher, none of that was going on in such a concerted fashion towards a president ever before. Bill Clinton, George W. Bush, nobody has been, you know, you can say, oh, it's the left, it's the left. They didn't make fun of George W. Bush like this. Now they joke that he was dumb or this or that, but it was minor. It was painfully minor in comparison. Yeah. Now, Trump has brought all this upon himself, and he's a gift that keeps on giving every single day to these people. But let's face it, Kathy is driving me a little crazy with that, because I've seen Trump's tweets. There was one about Kathy. There have been 18 million others since then. She's old news as far as that. She just brought herself back into the news by having the press conference and then made it about her instead of about what she did. All right, Mark, I got to grab
the shoot from the hip philosophy is the essence of our communication. Nobody stops to have foresight about what they're saying and doing.
Yeah. Think before you act. All right, Mark, thank you so much. I appreciate the call. Let's get over to Chuck in Wisconsin. Chuck here on 720 WGN. Good morning.
How you doing? I just wanted to say a few things about coal. I worked in the steel mills in northwest Indiana for like 20-something years.
Okay.
Coal is used to manufacture to make steel. You take iron ore pellets and you take coke, which is coal that's been cooked and processed. And then you mix some other ingredients with it, and that's what makes iron. One of the largest manufacturers and users of coal in the state of Indiana is Eli Lilly. Eli Lilly is a pharmaceutical company.
Sure.
They use it in order to cook the coal to remove the materials out of it. The benzene, naphthalene, xylene, all the different materials, which eventually all end up being distilled and refined and broken down into medicine, as simple as aspirin.
Huh.
So you need coal. And what was happening is the coal that was being brought in from other countries or whatever was not as high a quality. So if you were going to compare it to making like whiskey, for example, you never really had the product to make the whiskey. The whiskey was going to be bad as opposed to whiskey.
God knows, so, Chuck, if this were about whiskey, we'd demand that it was the best quality, wouldn't we? We wouldn't be shutting down any whiskey plants.
Yeah, anyway, but you have to have coal to make steel. And if you don't have, and if you want to manufacture and you want to make cars and other steel products, you have to have coal. So it's very important.
Okay.
I just thought I wanted to say that.
And I appreciate that, but President Trump was mostly talking about our energy needs. And we're going to burn clean coal. And that's where I imagine, I'm guessing if we didn't use coal at all for energy and only used it for medicine and manufacturing of steel, things like that. But he's talking about we got to open up new plants. We have plants that make coal. I've never heard of a shortage for Detroit because there's not enough coal. I'm guessing that we haven't shut that down, have we?
At one time, Henry Ford, he actually made his own steel mill. It was called Rouge Steel, and he had his own steel manufacturing place because he did not want to pay the money for the steel from like your Inland Steel, where I used to work, or U.S. Steel, Bethlehem, all those different steel mills and everything. It was very important that they had steel. When they do have a coal-fired generator, they have what's called a scrubber, and that is what you see that comes out of the big smokestacks. It's not coal, and it's not steam. That's actually been cleaned and scrubbed to where all it is basically like a steam. That's not a environmentally dirty thing. The big retention pond areas, that the runoff from the scrubbers that clean the coal fired generators, that there gets hauled away and they do things with that, but it's not like a huge emission. Anyway, I'm not like an engineer or anything like that, but I've been in that industry. I was in the coke plant. I was in the blast furnace, and it's It's very well regulated.
Well, it is for now, right? Chuck, what's your feelings on coal, though? Do you feel that coal should be opened up for more energy use? Because that's what President Trump is proposing, that he wants he wants to put the coal miners back to work, and we're going to grow at a rate that we need every energy source possible. We need to use coal for energy.
I think it might be a good idea. Now, I don't want you to shoot me when I say this, if you want to have people and you want them to go to work, back when they built the nuclear power plant in Illinois down by wherever it was,
Braidwood, right?
Yeah, down there at Braidwood, right? I had a friend there. His father worked there. He worked there. He said there was over 30,000 people there working per day building that thing. And that was there fabricating and building it. That wasn't all the offset places where they were manufacturing the pipe and everything else. And once again, all that pipe and all that steel beams and everything else, you need coal to make that. But you want to put people to work, make a nuclear power plant.
Now that's a whole other night for us, isn't it, Chuck?
Yes, it is. Anyway, I love your show.
Hey, I appreciate you calling in. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate it. 312-981-7200. Raj, did I just blow right by the news? What, am I Patty over here?
Yes. No, you're not.
Hello, everybody. Hi. All right. It's 3:36 in the morning. I'm sorry, but I wanted to let him get in because he'd called.
This is all good stuff.
It's interesting. You know, and
I'm learning a lot listening to it.
Me too.
Especially the stuff about here when he was talking about coal being used to make steel, but then the U.S. goes around and starts importing steel.
Well,
from
here's
Asia.
What I'm going to say, because I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know anything here, but I'm going to say this. We're importing steel from Asia because U.S. steel is expensive, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's because we don't have enough coal production. Mm-hmm. Now, I have no idea if that's the truth, because I've never heard of we need more coal because of steel. I'm hearing we need to put the coal miners back to work because we need to use it for energy. And Trump cited that in the speech. He says if it was only 1% growth, that's fine. We can make enough, but we're going to grow at 3-4%. We're going to need every energy source we need to avoid rolling brownouts and blackouts. So he's advocating coal for energy. And I don't think that's so. I'm guessing I've never heard of a shortage. I never heard of Eli Lilly saying not enough coal to make your aspirin. Now, maybe there is that much of a shortage. I don't know. But but I do know that we hear a lot of bad things about coal. It pollutes the air in general. It decimates the land to get it. And let's face it, who's ever talked about what a great life a coal miner has? Now, I know there's areas of the country where that's the work that they have, and that's the education level they have and the jobs they can get, and you don't want those people to just be stuck and out of work. But if we're talking about the future, we don't want to raise people to say, hey, there'll be a good coal mining job for you down the road, because those aren't great jobs.
Yeah.
Is at least what I've always heard. It's a job, and that's a job that you are proud of and you work hard at, but it sounds like a very rough. That's not where we're taking the country in general, right? We're talking high-tech solar and wind and advancements that will help not only open up new markets but clean the earth. So we need to, I would think, move more towards that. But his promises were manufacturing coal, things like that. He's trying to deliver on those promises. You got to give him that. All right, it's getting really late. Let's get upstairs, check the news. Here's Roger.